Welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie, and we have Emily and Aaron back on the show to talk more about family matters and what it's like to be a mom, so stay tuned. Welcome back to New Every Day. Jen is away, and we have Emily Riley and Aaron Hatton here, and we are so glad that you have come back for another, well, round two of Family Matters and talking about what it's like to be a mom. And if you watched last week's show, you'll know that Aaron is a mother of four children and is a published author and is doing some work in the community with moms who are transitioning from the shelter system, mm-hmm. if that's mm-hmm. what I understand, Aaron. Yeah. Yeah. And Emily Riley is a new mom of an 11-month-old Clara, and she works in interior design and does designy things. Okay, Emily and I have known each other for
commercial interiors. Yeah. Commercial interiors. Commercial
interiors. We've known each other for a long time, and I always ask Emily what she does because I really don't understand it. But she makes things happen and things look nice, and it's
great. Yeah, it's good. Good job.
Good job. And Emily's on maternity leave right now, and Aaron, you're home for the summer with the kids, mm-hmm. and still doing a little bit of writing?
Yeah, here and there, yeah, when I can.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And what are some of the books, what types of books are you writing?
I write historical fiction and fantasy. Nice. My books that I have published are a fantasy allegory about Christ's love for the church, and historical fiction based on a true story about my ancestors and how their faith influenced each other.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And if people want to get a hold of those books, how do they go about doing that?
They're available online, like Amazon Chapters, Amazon. Anything like that. Yeah.
Erin has a Facebook page.
I do.
And so if you go to our partners page, you can scroll down to Amazon and you'll be able to search for Erin's book. Can you give us the title of your book again?
Otherworld and Across the Deep.
Otherworld mm-hmm. and Across the Deep. So check that out. So anyways, we're going to jump back into where we left off. You guys had shared about your expectations of parenthood before you became new moms, and then how your relationship with God changed after having children, and that you had a better understanding of God's unconditional love for us and his forgiveness. And then we also kind of touched on how society puts a lot of expectations on new moms and a lot of pressure. And can we just go over that again? So what are some of the pressures maybe that you experienced as a first-time mom, Emily?
Yeah, so even I was talking about last time how stubborn Clara is, right? So just finding out how she would be able to sleep successfully and that sort of thing, like that was a huge struggle. And as soon as you start Googling stuff, like Aaron was saying last time, there's mm-hmm. two different schools of thought. And if you read one, it's saying, if you do this, your child's going to be obese and, like, not do yeah. well in school and do poorly. And if you do this, then they're not going to learn, like, how to successfully soothe themselves and all that jazz. And it's just finding what works for you yeah. and, like, finding how you can survive and thrive as well. Because if you're doing one thing and you're not... doing, like, and if you're a mess, then your child's mm. obviously going to feed off that as well and sense how you're feeling, and like then they're not going to be happy. And
I've heard that compared to, like, in an airplane, yeah. they tell you mm-hmm. you put on your oxygen mask first and then you can put on your child's yeah. oxygen mask, because if you pass out while you're trying to put on theirs, then neither of you
yeah.
get one, right?
Exactly.
So yeah,
and
so taking care of yourself in yeah. order to be able to take care of someone else.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. And also, like, there's so many expectations beforehand as well, and there's so many things that I said that I wouldn't do beforehand. Like
I never statements, I'll never.
Yeah, I'll never do this, like, as what? A mom. And, like, I said, I'll never let my kid watch TV. And, like, we were in there eating lunch, and Clara was watching the Olympics and equestrian with Matt, because Matt loves the Olympics. Like, he has a deep passion for the Olympics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and even, like, every morning, like, I was telling them, like, if I go to have a shower or something in the morning and I put Claire in her pack and play while Matt's having breakfast, she has some separation anxiety, which would almost be an understatement considering the church nursery. But anyways,
it's all good.
We're working on that. She starts daycare soon.
When I babysit her. Yeah. Actually, someday you're going to love this.
Yeah, exactly. So Carrie's awesome. Erin's awesome. So anyways, so in the mornings, it's like if I put her in her pack and play with Matt and the TV's not on, she will scream the entire time while I have a shower because she can still hear me. She still knows I'm there and she wants to play and that sort of thing. Whereas if I turn the TV on and her pack and play is out with Matt, she'll watch the TV for like a minute and then she'll sit down in her pack and play and she'll play. And this is something that, like, I struggled with, because it's like if your kid watches TV for this long, this is the amount of stimulation they'll get, and then they'll get used to that stimulation and all that jazz. And it's something where I was like, she cannot zone out watching TV for this amount of time, she's so young. And that, but it's like it took me 10 and a half months to be okay with it. Yeah. And but she's happy, and would I rather her be happy and playing with toys while the TV's on in the background with Matt in the morning, or would I rather her be screaming at Matt for like 10 straight minutes, turning red while he eats breakfast, and that's his last moment before he goes to work with her?
That's a good point.
Like, actually. And Matt's, like, with his job, he has those 10 minutes, a bit more if he wakes up early with her in the morning, and then he gets home from work and he has 20 minutes with her before she goes to bed. Mm-hmm. So it's important that he gets positive time with her and that she gets positive time with him. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
But the culture or different sources were telling you, no, it's going to pickle her brain.
Yeah.
It has 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's learning what works for you. Same as sleep training and all that jazz. It's learning what works for your family and works with your kid. Now, if she was sitting down and she was like in front of the TV when she's that young, then we may have to reevaluate it, right? but she's so not doing that. Yeah.
We had a similar thing with the TV. Like, I was so like, they're not going to get TV until they're at least two, and then it's only like minimal.
Oh, really?
But then when I got pregnant with Katie, I was so sick, I had to go on Diclectin, and it knocked me out.
Yeah.
And so I've got this two-year-old who could get into all kinds of trouble around the house unless I turn on the TV, and then he sits still and doesn't do anything, and he's totally safe.
Yeah.
So when I'm conked out and could not keep myself awake, we had to put the TV on. It was a survival thing.
Yeah. Because you were so tired, then he needed to know where he was.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. Wow, so TV is just one among them. What shocked me was, you know, looking through magazines at your place and seeing different ads or even just reading on, like, Facebook posts about the products. Like, the products that you can purchase or maybe should purchase for the safety of your child.
Yeah.
Like, did you find that there was a lot of product pushing, that you felt the need to have the right thing?
There's so much product out there now. It's, again, finding what works with you and works with your kid. Like, there's so many different baby carriers. So, like, for me, we have the Golden Retriever. So it's like, okay, what will work for us in that time? So what I did is I talked, because we have Holiday, I talked to a lot of moms beforehand that had big dogs and that had been through that experience, and I asked them, okay, like, what worked for you, and just getting that beforehand and testing it out and that sort of thing and learning the ropes. And because we use a Mobi wrap, right? And you look at the Mobi wrap and it's like, how the heck do I need it?
I wish they'd had those when my kids were little.
Did you have a Snuggly?
I had a Snuggly, for them. But with the twins and stuff, like, I couldn't. I know that when they're little, with a Mobi wrap, you can wrap them both on you.
But you can do two babies.
I couldn't do.
My mind is
blown. Yeah.
Yeah. So if one was crying, well, I had the other one. It's just like, they learn to take turns pretty young.
Yeah.
But the thing about products too, I mean, like, when we first had our kids, we were not in a position to buy all these things that they were saying. So we really, we bought, like, they had the kind of monitor that had the pad under the mattress so you could, like, it would have an alarm that went off if your baby stopped breathing or stopped moving. Mm-hmm. So we invested in that, and we had a safe car seat. But, I mean, other than that, we were happy to have whatever we could get at that point. Yeah. And it's important to remember, too, the older I get, the more I realize, like, people have been raising babies for centuries without all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just look at how far they've come with inventions since I had my kids, even just in 9 years. Like, I did fine without all those things that they've invented since the in the past 9 years. So it's important to remember, this technology, it's good to a point, but it really isn't the be all and end all. It's important that you love your baby and you keep your baby safe to a reasonable level. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you don't need all these gadgets.
And sometimes they just want the box.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the Tupperware cupboard.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Tupperware cupboard.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't change who you are as a mom or as a wife.
No.
Yeah. Or as a friend. Like, it's not going to enhance that, right? No. Yeah. Or change who you are. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really good.
Yeah.
Is there any... Would you share like one piece of advice for maybe moms? Maybe with the focus of self-care, like how do you take care of yourself so that you're able to take care of your family and your husbands, and be there for them? Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned that you put the TV on to get some time. Is there any other way that you take care of yourself that maybe you could share with the viewers?
I think it's important to forgive yourself.
Okay.
If you've fallen short of these expectations that you feel that society has or that you have for yourself, and to say, you know what, maybe I didn't get to my chores today, and maybe my house is a little messy, but maybe I did get to, spend some time with God or spend some time making sure the kids feel that that you're there and engaged with them, or have a nap when they're sleeping instead of doing chores. Like, that's important. And sometimes it's really hard for a mom to disengage from that feeling of needing to have things done and needing to have something to show for your existence, justify being there. But then I think, okay, if I have a nap, then I'm able to make a good dinner and I'm able to spend some time with my husband before we crash at bedtime. Mm-hmm. And that's in some senses more important. And even date nights, we made it a priority early on that we were going to make sure that we spent time together without the kids. And we've actually, when the kids get a little bit worried about, why are you leaving? Why can't you stay here? And then I've actually told my kids before, we're going out on a date so we can be a better mommy and daddy for you.
That is so good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's always been a priority for us. Our marriage comes first and then the kids.
It goes back to the whole oxygen mask thing. Like, you can't be a good mom and dad unless you fill that tank back up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And even if you have yourself put together, but if you don't have a good relationship with your husband, how can you be on the same page to raise four children or raise one daughter? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of resources from Focus on the Family that they do say that a strong marriage is one of the best ways that you can help your kids understand what healthy relationships look like and what they can expect for marriage. But it also is socially protective for them in the sense that it can, help keep them from getting into bad stuff later if they know that mom and dad are, their relationship is solid. Mm-hmm. Even if other things are falling apart, if mom and dad are solid.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of single parents watching too, and I think that there's a lot of value in getting involved in a church family to support you. And I know, Erin, you work with a lot of single moms as well.
Absolutely. Maybe,
I don't know if you could speak to support for them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, most of what I do at Redwood is sit and have coffee with moms.
Oh, yeah.
And give them a ride somewhere or watch their little ones while they do something they need to do. And sometimes I feel like, I'm not really doing much. But then I've had such continuous positive feedback from them that that was exactly what I needed today. I needed to just talk. And so I think moms having other moms to vent to or to talk to, and then it makes you feel like, because you, as a mom, especially a single mom, I'm sure, when you're alone with your kids all the time, you tend to get this insulated little world where you're, you kind of forget what's out there. You forget your connections to other people, and it tends to isolate you in the sense that you don't really know if you're doing a good job. You don't have any reference point, I think. So
you've never done it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting together with other friends, wise friends who are going to be able to steer you in the right direction, and to be able to sound things off of them, or to just say, hey, I need to vent. Don't judge me on this. I just need to say what's in my heart. And, that makes a big difference to your ability to be a good mom and to be a whole person, I think.
Those are some great thoughts. And I think that maybe that speaks to the role of like single women in families too. You know, for me, I just so value that my friends kind of welcome me into their family, but there's also a role for women to be meeting with other women, you know, even just to talk and be that sounding board and to have that solid relationship and friendship, I think is so important. And even not having children of your own, there's still such an important and meaningful role within families that I know sometimes I've struggled with, and that, you know, some of my other friends who don't have children have struggled with. But over time I've realized that that is so important, like having meaningful conversations, having solid friendships. It's just so important.
You don't even have to have a lot in common.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the women that I support at Redwood are, they are fleeing domestic violence. Like that is not something I have any experience with, but we're women. We're all women.
Yeah.
Most of us are moms. We can still talk about the common ground that we have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's been so many times where like you've texted me or you've texted me and been like, you're just wanted to let you know you're such a good mom. And it's like, even just that is so important and so valuable.
Is there anything that you wanted to add, Emily, to how you take care of yourself, to the whole, to the self-care discussion?
Well, I think even just learning how to be flexible and relax and that sort of thing, and accepting change as well, like that's been big for me, is that's helped me get through like all the transitions and changes and that sort of thing. Like, it's a difficult thing to do, but one of the things that one of my friends told me before him was the only thing that is constant is change, and just learn how to accept that. That will help a lot. And just kind of accepting that truth has helped a bit. It's like I said, it's been a challenge, but and like I said, just with Matt, just learning how to be like, okay, you take her, I'm gonna go do this, or accepting help from friends. And that's been a big one for me as well, is just learning how to be like, okay, you got this, see ya.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. We are already out of time again. I've been talking to you guys forever. But thank you so much for coming back on, and why don't we just pray together, and then we'll wrap up. So, Father, thank you so much for the wonderful gift of family and of friendship, and that you invented family and you knit us together in our own mother's wombs. And Lord, whether we know our parents or not, or whether we're part of a family or not, you are our Heavenly Father. And I just thank you for that, God. I thank you that you have a plan for each one of us in your kingdom and within the church, the body of Christ. And I just want to thank you so much for my friends who would come on today. And I pray for all the viewers who are moms and who may be struggling. And I pray that you would put them in touch with other people, other women who know you and could encourage them. Thank you for your goodness to us. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you again. Thank you for tuning in. And check out last week's episode, Family Matters Part 1, to hear from Emily and Aaron. And we hope that you'll tune in next week. Check us out, neweveryday.tv. Wanted to thank Category 5 TV and Robbie Ferguson for making this show a possibility. And thanks for tuning in.